Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Tonight we see Billy's rings, Ramirez sings, Gaja Gugu's in a whirl, and who will be our final girl? We're talking about American Horror Story 1984, Season 9, Episode 8, Rest in Pieces. Stay tuned.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the American Horror Story After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. We are talking about American Horror Story 1984, Season 9, Episode 8, Rest in Pieces. I'm your host, Elena Jordan, and joining me today, the incomparable, the always happy, Miss Cappy.
Miss Happy Cappy.
Alexa Cammiello herself is here.
I am here, and that was a cool episode. I'm so excited to talk about it.
And so excited to have you back, Ollie Drennan.
Hi, I miss you guys.
Yay!
The crowd goes wild.
Everybody missed you last
time. I missed you guys. Ooh. I missed the Halloween episode.
We were very, very sad.
And you
that
guys
you were
looked
not
amazing,
here.
By the way.
Aw, thank you.
I was like, it's a good thing.
You.
I would have brought that team down.
No way. Oh, shut up. Everything you do is perfect. I don't even want to hear it. I don't even want to hear it. Phenomenal. And Kayla Renee, who is unfortunately not here.
But we miss
we
her.
We all
terribly.
Had a big battle of who will be the final girl for next episode. Kayla got KO'd this round. She'll be back next week. We'll all be back next week, hopefully. Hopefully. We'll all be the final one.
Finale.
For the finale. It's so crazy.
This is the second
to last episode of this season. The season has flown by. And we have a lot to talk about. So before we dive into the episode two, just a little heads up for you guys. Be sure to watch our entire episode, because not only are we a delight, but you guys are phenomenal, and you have actually sent in some incredible fan photos as well of Halloween costumes inspired from American Horror Story.
I'm so excited to see those.
We'll also do our special segment, Slash Back, talking about the 80s references, and there's no way that I can say it without going Slash Back. and we'll also give our predictions for the final episode as well. But starting us off, overall thoughts. What did you guys think of this, the penultimate episode?
I want Ollie to go first.
Oh, gosh. Well, I had to watch both episodes. There's a lot to process. There's so much information. So what I really, what stood out to me most, obviously, there's lots of killing. I mean,
obviously.
But I love
that's a common theme.
We'll talk more in depth, but I love the relationship between Donna, not Rita. Donna,
I know,
and Brooke.
So I keep wanting to say Big
call,
Rita.
I want to say
like,
Rita,
Big Rita
so bad. But I love seeing kind of like, despite what they went through in the past, clearly it wasn't a good relationship. But now they're on better terms. I think we've seen a lot of growth with Donna. And I just love seeing like women ultimately support other women.
Yes.
You know, it's hard, especially you don't see that a lot in horror. I don't know. It's very questionable with horror. You don't see women kind of like doing their best to empower themselves, but I think they're trying to, at least I would like to think that they're trying to do something different in this particular, with these two characters, of just doing their best to support each other, because that's important. Women, support each other, don't bring each other down.
Yeah!
Yeah, I agree with that.
Just saying.
What he said.
I feel like we should high five.
Yeah!
And also you, all of us, hands in. Yeah!
And Kayla's here in spirit.
And Kayla's also here.
Tonight. I liked the episode. It wasn't as... I mean, I liked the last episode a lot better, but this episode was good. I'm a little just like, what are they doing with this whole purgatory thing? I'm just like, where is this going? I just want it to get to where it's going. And then also,
well,
I don't...
So do they.
I know. I know. And I just want Margaret to die already. That's my thoughts right now. I'm just like, Margaret needs to go. Can somebody just kill her off already? Yeah. Poor Jingles. I also hashtag right. poor Jingles. Mm. Can we keep that going forever and always?
Who would have known that Jingles would be the one to hold the key to our heart?
I know.
It was jingling on his keychain the whole time. We had no clue.
Sorry we misjudged you,
and,
Betty.
Also, I have to say, Brooke is hot. Hot now.
I know.
Brooke. Right? Like, damn. I'm like, girl.
The outfit.
I know. It's like bad, she's like bad, like you said it last time, bad Sandy, except like.
Yeah. Like bad sometimes, Sandy, but like.
Rare. Sometimes you have to go to prison, to jail, to bring out the sex kid.
I mean, I will say though, Donna's outfits are always fire. Right. Yes. So I'm like, let's be honest, those are Donna's clothes that Brooke is borrowing. Let's be real.
This is 1989, right? Just, yes. Everyone looked good. It was getting.
It's the day before Halloween, 1989. What did you, I thought this was kind of weird that they did this episode this week and not last week, which would have been the Halloween episode. Right. You know, because now we're going technically. I mean, obviously back in time to 1989, right. But like back a week. I don't know. It felt weird to me because normally it syncs up.
Right.
I don't know. Time seems to move slower in this show.
That's true. And it does kind of get a little circular, which we've seen.
I just hope everything's like wrapped up. Because it's like, it was a bummer knowing that, like, watching this episode was good. But just like, oh man, we have one episode left. Just wrap everything up.
Yeah. And normally the penultimate episode is, like, the one that's almost better than the finale.
Yeah,
because
right.
it's the one that builds everything that right. you're like, what's going to happen? And now we're kind of like, well, I'll give you that. But I do love this Donna-Brooke dynamic that you were talking about, Ollie. Yeah. And the fact that they even start from the very beginning talking about this conversation of the 80s movies of the final girl.
Right.
And then ultimately how they circle around to having the two of them, both of us can be the final girl. Mm-hmm. And this idea of it, because we see a lot of times in not just horror movies, but just in media in general, that women are pitted against
right.
each other.
True.
Ryan Murphy, who did the show Feud, I feel like probably knows this better than anyone, did like deep dive research into this. So seeing this idea of this being like, look, we don't have to be in the fight of who will be the final one. Let's work together and both be the final girl.
Mm-hmm. I also love how she pointed out her skin color and how the African-American is always the first one to go. And it's like,
always.
Why does that always have to be right. the case?
And I hope they correct that because it happened in this season with Ray. He was kind of the first
yeah.
one to go.
Yeah.
Out of like the main cast.
Yeah.
I know. But I do love too that this we'll get into the campers later, but all of them are like, we're innocent too, except for Ray.
Right.
Off of Ray's ass.
No.
Guys. Deserved it.
Debatable.
He was kind of a jerk. I mean, he did like, I don't know. He did. He was going to haul ass and leave everybody at the camp.
Yeah.
Montana's not innocent.
She's not.
But I mean, she, I feel like also, we'll get into that whole thing about how women get right. judged harsher.
Right. Yeah.
This is just like full feminist episode and I'm kind of here for it. The more that we talk about it, I think the more I like it.
Absolutely.
It was a little over, like, nail over the head, though.
I mean, it is very much. There were definitely some moments that were very, very, like, we're going to drive this home if you haven't figured it out after 8 episodes that this is our message. But the introduction of Stacy Phillips. What did you guys think of having Stacy come in, having this interaction? Ollie, I'm seeing you. Give it a song.
She was annoying. I'm sorry. I didn't like her.
No. But do you want to elaborate more?
Oh. I don't know. Maybe the acting was a little off for me, and then at the same time, I don't know. I didn't like her character. I just didn't like her.
Yeah. I mean, I liked her just because they tend to have somebody introduce. The only thing is,
she just knew too much. Right off the bat, knew everything.
I just wanted Alana Winters so bad. When they were like, oh, we're going to have somebody from the press. I was like, Alana, this is our Alana. And they were like, you don't get Sarah Paulson. You get Stacy Phillips. And we're like, who is Stacy Phillips? Okay, fine.
You don't think it's still possible? I know that's prediction.
No, she already said she's not doing it. She's not coming back. We'll go into news later, but spoiler alert.
So, like, knowing that, I'm kind of like, oh, that's such a bummer that
I know.
That they kind of had
Stacy. It was a setup.
Yeah, Stacy seems like a second like an afterthought now, almost. I know. And that's why she...
Well, she was killed at the camp, so she's coming back.
Oh, she's definitely coming back. She's definitely coming back. We see her, too, like, kind of keep making her rounds. We see the hotel. The only thing about the whole scene in the hotel, it felt extraneous to me. Like, watching the tape, the whole thing. Like, I mean, I love any time that I get to see Angelica Ross on screen, so I'll take whatever I can get. But still... I'm like, we already know this. So this is just exposition of something that we already knew, which I think is why this episode felt like it dragged, was just because of that one scene where it was like, okay, but why are we spending so much time explaining what we already dedicated a whole episode to?
Also, why does she have to come bring them in and show them that she has this tape?
Like, can't it just be like, oh,
I have it. Like, just tell me, you know, why do we need to see it?
Because the whole thing is to be like, this is our plan. Our plan is that we're going to put you in the trunk and this is how we get to the camp. But the thing is, at this point, we don't care how they get to the camp. We're willing suspension of disbelief is like, we are fine with everyone being dead and just still being here.
Right.
Like, well, if you're just like, oh, and we found a way into the camp, none of us will be like, what was your plan?
Yeah.
We want to see you elaborate.
I think Stacy kind of was just not so much of a character. I saw her as kind of like a tool to kind of like utilize in order to kind of bring out the evil within Brooke.
Brooke, that's because possible.
And I love the conversation that Donna brought up about how there is kind of like, whether we like it or not, there is kind of evil embedded with each and every one of us. And she said this was taught by my dad, and it's whether or not we choose to feed that and live in that evil.
And
it's
giving like, it's about, it the hate.
It's about fighting, and she literally had to fight and push Brooke off of her. And then obviously Stacy got killed by other people. But that's what I loved about it. Like, Stacy really was just kind of like a wrench they tried to throw in to kind of throw us off. But
makes sense. She went to the tool shed, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. There you go. But it didn't work.
Oh, boy.
It didn't work.
Which is why she didn't die there.
You know,
she got killed by a tool, though. Alexa's like,
did you guys think that Brooke was going to kill her or no?
I did. I literally did think she was going to kill her.
I thought that Donna was going to stop her just because of the whole thing of Donna being like, I need to redeem myself.
Karma. Karma.
That kind of, I was like, okay, I love this idea of we both have, like, or everybody has this duality in themselves, of everybody has this good and the evil, and whichever monster grows is the one that you feed. Like, it's, you know, if you give love and positivity, then you're going to grow one. If you have nothing but hate and you keep feeding like this. But then she's like, and so we should unite together for our common mission of killing this other bitch.
Yeah, I know.
I was like, wait a minute.
I know. It was like, true. She's like, you have to feed the good monster, but then also let's go on a revenge mission.
Like,
It was a little weird.
Because
I totally agree.
This is Margaret. Margaret needs to go down.
No, I mean, I get it. And I get why they were justifying it. But I was like, I'm sorry. This beautiful speech is a little undercut. You're like, now let's go cut a bitch.
Yes,
I'm like,
true.
Okay.
I felt the same way. I did. I honestly felt the same way. I was like, okay. I get what you're... Okay, and now let's go murder this other bitch. Okay, all right, fine.
It's like, weird button to end on, but fine. Let's go to commercial. Like, fine, whatever.
That was hilarious.
That was funny.
That was the only thing that I was like, I mean, all right, I love you, Angelica Ross, but if anybody else delivered that speech, I'd be like, really? Okay. It's cool that we're not stabby right now, but let's be stabby. Let's be selective stabby.
Yeah, she's evil. You have to kill the evil so the evil doesn't spread. There you go.
I mean, you know, whatever. She's literally saying this is for vengeance. I'm pissed at Margaret. Let's go
stab her.
That's what
I'm saying. Her whole character doesn't make sense to me. First, she lets Jingles go as an experiment to watch him murder people. And then is like, oh, no, we have to be good because karma exists. But then let's still kill somebody. And she's all over the place. Rita is all over the map.
But at the same time, Angelica Ross is the only Halloween candy that we're gonna get.
I know.
Am I right? App Pose reference. Pose. That was so clever.
Okay.
Her character's name is Candy.
So
you're welcome. I'm hilarious.
So sorry. I'm still mourning the loss. Still mourning the loss of Angelica Ross from Pose. That sound effect and me just go hand in hand, man.
I know.
No, but all I'll say is that Margaret needs to go down.
Chef, duh.
because she's profiting. She's trying to profit off of killing all of our 80s icons.
Let's talk about this. First, let's talk about Alex, because this is not the first that we've seen of Alex. The last we saw him was tied up to the pole without his thumbs. Did you guys think that we were going to see more of him? I kind of thought that was it for Dylan McDermott.
I thought the same. I thought that was the end of him, and then all of a sudden
he's
back.
The only reason that I thought that he was going to be back was because at the AHS 100 event, he still had the mustache. And I was like, did you grow this just for this? And so since he still had the mustache then and they were still filming.
Yeah.
They were still filming this episode, though, so that's not a spoiler for next episode, even though it's like he's definitely going to be back next episode.
Yeah.
Well, I was super shocked. My mouth dropped when I saw him last episode. He hasn't been back since Asylum, right?
Right.
Did he come back at all?
He came back for Apocalypse, remember?
For Murder House. Yes. Like that part. Okay.
Yeah, just for that one little short bit. Okay. And it was both Britton and Dylan McDermott. Mm-hmm. And they both came back just for a minute to be like, yep, we have that evil baby, our bad.
I just don't know what his character's purpose is now, other than just being another killer, you know?
Okay, so I think that's basically, like, they brought him in to be, like, kind of stirring the pot, I think, mm-hmm. and then also showing, because everything that they do on the show is also some sort of allegory or reference. This is somebody who is a full-fledged Stan. Like, this is kind of showing, like, Stan culture of, like, the super-duper fan, where he meets Richard Ramirez. I mean, we'll start first by saying, you know, how we introduced to him, which I love that we see him pick up Jonas in this the pink Mary Kay car and have this new wave shit versus the storytellers conversation. Did you guys pick up on first they were playing Falling Fast from the Go-Go's? And then they cut to Fortunate Son from Clearance Clearwater Revival. And later, it's the Unfortunate Son that we find out that Bobby is.
Damn.
For Jingles. It all ties in. And then Jingles goes falling. It's like, I love it. He was falling fast, and then it was.
I will say the music is very well thought out and planned.
Yes!
Who would have thought all of these 80s like songs would have just fit perfectly into a horror? Like,
I know.
Everybody needs to watch 80s horror. Come on now. Right? You know that, Ollie.
I mean. But it works even better.
It is the perfect soundtrack, though.
Right.
I want them to make a soundtrack of this season. I don't think they ever have before, but I want it.
Yeah. Let's make that happen.
I want it.
There's got to be a Spotify playlist somewhere.
Sure. There has to be.
We're just going to have to go back and make one.
But we see this whole thing with where he runs into Ramirez, and we'll go into Jingles' whole thing in a minute, too. But he meets Ramirez, basically, because he hits Jingles and then meets up with Ramirez, who is still... By the way, I do have to say, one of my favorite parts of this episode was Zach Villa singing just a little bit of Rebel Yell.
Oh. Zach,
who plays Richard Ramirez, is an actual musician in real life, too. And he just, like, released a song. So they were like, okay, here you go. You get to sing for a little bit. Then Jingles is going to attack you to the ground. We'll go full-fledged Game of Thrones eye gouge and then back to Dylan McDermott.
We love it.
And the ironic thing was, as he was singing, after Jingle tackled him, I was like, I wanted more, more, more.
There you go. Yeah. You and your one-liners.
I'm sorry.
You're good. You're just too good. You're just too good.
But yeah, so we have him hit Ramirez, hit Jingles, and this is Ramirez explaining to him, you know, oh, that was my kind of my white whale, the one who interrupted all of my stuff. Now I'm pretty pissed at you. And then he shows this whole kind of like, look what I got in my trunk. I'm all about killing. Let me help you.
Number six, Mary Kay, the lady.
Yeah.
I'm kind of bummed he killed her because we would have had so many more pink cars if she was still alive, you think? I love pink.
I mean.
And fun little makeup.
You did your hair specifically for this episode.
But maybe that was a good thing. I did, no. Maybe that was a good thing, you know? We don't want Mary Kay to take over too much.
Speak for yourself.
But maybe that was, like, something to do with, like, killing off, like, I don't know, like, commercialization? I don't know. You know,
yeah,
something? It had to be.
Down with pyramid schemes is what...
Right!
It's like a whole... Well, it was because, like, the 80s was this whole rise of, like, true capitalism, of everybody being, like, so business-focused.
Right.
And then going into the 90s, especially, that's, like, kind of the fun, like, freestyle thing. I mean, the whole theme of this episode seems to be, we want the 80s to last forever, which, if current pop culture is any indicator, yeah.
Yeah,
it's like the
true.
Fifth thing this year that's been set in 1984.
I mean, that's really
it's like,
what made me super excited for this season was the fact that it's 80s. And I was just like, oh, I love the 80s. I mean, anybody that doesn't love the 80s, I'm like, I don't understand you as a human being.
Are you more like new wave, though? Or are you more like CCR? Like, what do you guys feel on this music debate that we have with Alex and Jonas, which we then see Ramirez has been talked about the whole time?
Well, I feel like 1989 was a really good year. So I'm kind of like late 80s personally, like in terms of music. So I'm kind
I'll give
of,
you that.
I'm like that lame
Eagles,
80s. Like, I'm that lame 80s, like, oh, you're not a real 80s fan. You're not like the early 80s. And I'm like, oh, well, I don't care. I'm gonna do me.
Honestly, I like it all. I really do. I love that cheesy synth. It's great.
I love that. Yeah. Cheesy Synth, I want to be the name of an 80s cover band.
Yeah.
Like, I would go, like, did you guys hear Cheesy Synth is playing Wednesday night at the Troubadour? We should go check it out.
Yeah.
Can we? Please?
Oh, I would be all about it. But, yeah, so we see this this whole thing with them being like, okay, well, let's go get Jingles. Here's this. Then Xavier shows up to show off Jingles' body, than to ultimately just be murdered by Jingles again. What did you guys think of this scene? Because I'm like, God, y'all love killing Cody. He just gets killed in everything.
Oh, yeah.
I just wonder, how do these ghosts change clothes? Off topic. But, yeah, I don't know.
There's just so much death. I'm desensitized to it at this point. I'm just like, oh, he's dead again. But it's interesting to when they said every time you die as a ghost, you, like, lose more of yourself. And so eventually, yeah. I guess that they're going to get to the point where they're just walking corpses.
Do the ghosts
just
like Jonas?
Any
yeah.
Oh, yeah. I guess Jonas.
That was
yeah.
Jonas who was explaining it to Jingles. Yeah. He was like, you just keep losing pieces of
because he keeps getting ran over. Is that the case?
Yeah,
I think he, like, every time he keeps. But what was weird to me was Jingles has this whole thing, and this is skipping a little bit ahead to Jingles, but he has this whole thing in this conversation where he's like, oh, I died after they killed me and I could feel it. And because Margaret shoots him in the head.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I can remember every moment. I'm like, this isn't the first time you died, bro.
Right.
You already died this season. Like, how come you didn't feel that one? How come we're not talking about that? I guess it's just, like, it's after he's already dead the first time, then he can remember his, like, secondary deaths?
I guess.
I don't know.
That's a little weird.
But what did you guys think about this? Of this whole, like, oh, it's a trifecta of murderer standoff.
Yeah.
And then having Margaret shoot Jingles and explain later, like, she has a new plan that is to basically, as we saw with Courtney finding Gaja Gugu's bodies and then having Gaja Gugu playing like their tightest set ever.
No.
Like, what did you guys think of this?
Like an 80s mecha memoriam.
Yeah.
Exactly.
For rock stars. What did you think of this? I mean, it seems like it is commentary on our obsession with the 80s.
And immortalizing it.
Yeah.
And profiting off it, which we're doing today.
Yes, we are.
Oh, Ryan, you're so good.
Like, a part of me, like, would want to go and just, like, right? Watch all these games. Like, you know, I would love to, but at the same time, I don't know. I just thought it was a little, I thought it was a little cheesy, a little much of her to be like, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to kill a bunch of people, and we're going to just make it this.
Well, no, yeah, totally. But now it makes sense as to why. We were questioning earlier, like, why is Margaret going back? She's so stupid. She's going to get killed, you know, right? So now it makes sense that she wants these people to die so they can be forever immortalized and have people come from all over.
But let's
and,
say this
like, yeah, 10 years later, you have to explain, like, how are these people not aging?
Right.
And,
right.
But, like, look at Gaga Gooch. What were the name? Gaga
Gaga.
Gaja Gugu, which
I
never knew who sang that song until tonight. I was like, oh, okay, they sing it.
And the rest, of the world is just going to be okay with the fact that these bands just are immortalized.
As long as it's not Billy Idol,
right?
Don't touch Billy.
I know. I don't think Richard would like that at all.
I love that everybody agrees. They're like, but we're not going to mess with Billy, though, right? Like,
could you imagine that?
We'll look at his rings, but like, we won't like look. Don't touch.
I just feel like my suspension of disbelief can only go so far. Sometimes with this show, I'm like, wait, what? What? And that was.
I mean, his name
parts.
Is literally Idol. I feel like it's like if Ryan Murphy is being on the nose, this is the most on the nose
it's
he
true.
Could be, which is like never meet your idols. His name is Billy Idol. If you didn't get, he's the idol. This is who we're talking about.
I just wonder if we're gonna see Billy Idol.
Oh, that would be.
I feel like. like we are. I feel like we have to because Ramirez is so obsessed. And then we find like Ramirez is like super fan. Mm-hmm. It's like just kind of this weird, like almost a chain of fans. Yeah. And then everybody, and then Margaret is the one who's pulling the strings the whole time,
it's
trying to
full circle. Stacy was a super fan of Brooke.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Stacy ultimately is killed because they hate writers. I love that the writers wrote that too. Anytime the writers write a scene where actors say "I hate writers,"
they're always like,
"They're like,
but I get there."
Well, being,
but I also am like, I mean, snaps to you. You guys are really good.
But I also think being a stan, or maybe like having like undying like fandomonium for something, could possibly kill you in a sense. It could take over your life and it could ruin you, as we're seeing with all these people dying. Yeah. Or maybe you might not even have thumbs. You might not have thumbs.
You, like, can't even give a thumbs up.
How are you supposed to do that at a concert? Like, it's, you're,
you
just
know,
like,
what?
Yay.
I will say, though, everybody who is watching has the capability to give us that thumbs up.
Oh.
That like, that five stars. You like guys want to comment? You know, we've got all these options for you. We love doing the after shows here.
Yes, we do.
Alexa just pops.
And we only.
I know. I'm like,
yeah,
I'm
why
dying
not?
A little
I
bit.
Mean,
but don't mind me. But definitely like, comment, and subscribe.
Yeah.
Because you guys are killing us with how awesome you are. Alexa's dying over here.
I'm in the process of getting better from my death.
I'm dying over the chat because you guys are hilarious in the chat. Just shout out some of them.
Yeah.
We see Renji, Josh Dudley, Nicholas Kelly, one of our faves, Billie Jean Girl. You're all our faves. You guys are so freaking funny. Someone was saying that Montana's... Oh, we'll talk about Montana later, but you guys are just amazing, and we're going to miss talking.
Let's talk about Montana now.
Can
Why
we?
Not? Yeah.
Because you were saying some things. This is the feminist episode, and it's so important.
Mean, this was, like, for real. Montana straight up spells it out, where she's like, I'm not Ramirez's freaking inspo to start killing. He was already killing, and also... Why? I feel like we were talking about this, too, about, like, the Zac Efron version of the Ted Bundy movie and everything, about how we've been glamorizing the hell out of serial killers.
Yeah.
And even the writer talks about it, where she's like, I can make serial killers sexy and desirable, or I could just shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And it's like, Ryan is even saying, like, hey, you guys do have this option to just shut up.
Yeah, not give them what they want, which is fame. Most of them just want to be acknowledged, and if you don't acknowledge them, they don't get what they want.
That's it. Yeah,
it's true though.
I mean, do you guys feel like this was like a direct commentary on a lot of the most recent glamorizations of serial killers that we've been seeing a lot? I mean, I feel like American Horror Story in some ways glamorizes, but not really, because they're ultimately showing like, this is horrific.
Yeah.
So even when they show like Lily Rabe as Eileen Warner, like you're saying, oh wow, she does such a good job as Eileen, you're not going, yeah, I want to go kill a bunch of dudes too and be like Eileen because she's dope. Like, no one's thinking that.
Yeah, because like, I think it's like, this is kind of tied to it, but like, I love violent video games, but that doesn't make me want to enact that. And I think that we're so accustomed to this idea of like playing the blame game. Like, there has to be a reason for something, and sometimes there isn't necessarily like a core relation to something. It's kind of like, it's a lot more complicated, and I think it's more gray. It's not black and white, and I think that's what American Horror Story is we see it with these characters. There's gray ass characters. They're not black and white. They're so complex, and I think it's really interesting to talk about them week after week. And I'm sad it's gonna be over soon.
I know.
We're seeing the blame game.
It's just like, it's like, okay, he's a serial.
And the name game Asylum.
The name game. But like, why do we have to always find someone to blame when we like try to identify a serial killer in their motives?
And typically the woman, like either the mother or the wife or the woman who rejected him. Mm-hmm. It's always, you know, the female's job is to support and placate this man. So even though, I mean, I just gave Eileen as an example, but there are very few female serial killers. The majority are male. Typically, though, we've seen the women are the ones who are blamed. And even, like, the Ted Bundy story that we saw, it was like, you have this amazing actress, and, like, all she does is, like, cry until she, like, pours out some liquor. I don't know.
Sounds like me on a typical Wednesday night.
I didn't even see it.
Why really? Wednesdays? No.
I watched, and it was weird because it was made by the same people who made the documentary. So I was like, you know better. I don't know. It just felt like this was very much commenting on that. I will say, though, what did you guys think about Trevor and his whole, I mean, him directly saying, Montana, you represent the 80s never dying. I hate that the 80s are going to die. I want to kill myself to live here forever with you. I mean, just to drive home the 80s forever point. Like, we're at the end of October of 1989. Let's die before the last 2 months are up. Like, can't let the 80s die. What did you guys think of this whole scenario?
I kind of like sympathize with Montana for a minute. I never thought I would say that because, or I didn't sympathize. Well, I sympathize with her because she said something along the lines of, I don't know if it was actually last week or this week, but she said that, you know, I think Trevor asked how death was, and she said something along the lines of like, well, I always felt like this longing when I was alive, so it's not much different other than like there's nothing to lose. But yet she still has that longing, and I feel like even when we're alive, we're not necessarily like feeling alive. You know, we're living, but are we alive? And I think that's something that was really clever with some of the writing for Montana's character, because I think a lot of people struggle with that. Like, they're living, they're not, but they're not alive or mm-hmm. present and yeah. doing something.
I feel the same. I feel like she was like, Trevor, shut the hell up. Like, you're still alive and you're taking it for granted. You want to kill yourself just so that you could live in this shithole purgatory with me for the rest of your, just because you don't want to get old? You're ridiculous. Like, you don't appreciate what you have.
Yeah, and I can, and he's been, if you think about it, he's been profiting off of the deaths of everyone.
I know. Same.
And I don't think Montana might not even know all of that.
Well, I mean, she knows that he's married. Like, she knows that he's married to Margaret.
There you go.
Because she even says, what about your wife? And it's like, what about specifically the woman who was the reason that all of this happened and that you could have reported, but instead you married and then profited off of everybody's suffering. I'm like, I feel like they did not touch on that enough.
Yeah.
And they were just like, what about your wife? And I'm like, she's more than just your wife. There's a whole lot of backstory.
This is true. This is so freaking true.
That was the only part that I was like, don't cut out the whole hotel scene with Stacy being like, here's a recap of this other episode.
Shout out to Keen. Yeah. Keen Lagerfield's comment, Montana's face when she found out aerobics was dead. That was really funny.
That was pretty sad. So like, that was the nail in the coffin. That's what made her snap.
Know,
let's be like, real. No.
What? Aerobics? I mean, that was really sad for her. That it was like everything that you've loved in the 80s. It's like, just try to find an aerobics class.
But it's also like, I can sense her frustration because it's like, I represent the 80s, but what else? Like, I represent so much more.
I know. She's more than just the 80s.
You just
she's
see me
human.
As the 80s, yeah. Bruh? Huh?
Whereas we I'm see Montana. The opposite with Brooke, where it's like, oh, you missed the 80s, so you don't know about, like, the final girl. You don't know about, like, what has been set up and what our role in this world is now. Which I kind of love, too, because we see these two characters juxtapose of one that's stuck in the 80s and the one that's missed it completely.
Yeah.
And where they are in their life. True. Afterlife slash whatever. What did you guys think of it? Now, I get the reference, the whole thing with her then going with Trevor finding her and being like, you know, I plateaued, the whole thing, like, you go, Trevor, go, where they full-fledged, like, White Fang him. White Fang, by the way, is a movie that came out in 1991, so I was like, a little too early, a couple years too early with the White Fang references, but I see ya. But White Fang was the one where it was like the dog where he's like, go, get out of here, go. You know what I'm talking about? Like the famous quote where he's like, if you love something, like he loved the dog, but he was trying to get it. So he's like throwing rocks and he's like, get out of here, you go.
No.
It's White Fanging somebody.
You've okay. never? Okay. No, you're, I've seen it referenced. My reference is SpongeBob. They reference that. They use that quote.
Oh my God, I am Trevor. I am the old man who has just shown up and been like,
SpongeBob.
No, that's, it's a Fox and the Hound reference too.
There we go.
Yeah.
Go! He's White Fanging him! Get out of here! Go! Throw the rocks!
Go on!
Go on!
Thank you for educating us.
And also, like, the epitome of the 90s haircut. Aww. Like,
go.
I mean.
No. Go on!
I don't think I ever saw this.
What?
I somehow missed it, and I lived through this.
And it's so funny because so many people will say, "Oh, Old Yeller," and I'm like, "No, this was White Fang. Old Yeller ended much sadder."
Aww, like, Ethan Hawke, young Ethan Hawke.
Just in case anybody wasn't feeling sad enough at this, like, Ethan Hawke White Fang scene.
But it's true. Don't forget Old Yeller. She totally White Fanged him.
She's White Fanged
like,
him.
Get out of here! You deserve to
go,
live,
Trevor. I mean, like, even in the most like melodramatic
it
way,
was very
too,
melodramatic. You and I looked at each other and we were like, "That was melodramatic." That was so dramatic.
I loved it though.
Believe me.
Well, isn't it almost interesting the conversation of kind of like maybe death is, or maybe living is actually, it might not even be like what it's all cracked up to be. I mean, he's probably going to go back to his miserable life being under Margaret and her tyranny, whereas like Montana's like living it up even though she's dead.
Oh, she ain't happy though.
Yeah.
She's miserable.
She feels the but I also didn't like though that they were like, we can feel fleeting feelings like happiness or sadness or being in love, and I was like,
wow.
Hold on a sec. I mean, I was like, happy yowza, that's a statement.
That is
very true.
I was
like, Trevor, pick up the hint, bro. Like, she just dropped that in casual convo that she's like, and I'll immediately fall out of love with you, so maybe don't kill yourself to be here forever.
I mean, good idea.
Oh, God. Anything that we want to say about those two before we dive into the big, big story, which is Jingles?
No, I mean, I feel like I want to talk about Jingles. I want to know, okay. I want to talk about that last scene is what I want to talk about.
Yeah, so we have this whole thing with Jingles and him going back and forth with the campers and like, don't kill me because then my son Bobby and well, I know you hate me, but Bobby, don't Bobby, well. And quick recap of the past like 3 episodes. But the campers are like, oh, well, is it your baby? Cool, I'm dead. Then that baby can die. Like, I just don't, like...
First off, why did they listen to him in the first... Remember that episode where he came around and they had him tied up and then it was story time? And then this time, they're like, no, Jingles must die. Like,
Because he came back. Like, they were basically like, never come back here. And then he came back to, like, rub their face in it. And because they basically forget... over and over every time, you know, like they die and as time goes on,
I guess you just forget.
It's like they just remember the vengeance. It's like the one burning thing that they remember. Like they kind of forgot the forgiveness. And they were like, let's just let him bleed out on this duck, push him in a boat so we can have a Jason Voorhees moment. But what did you guys think of this? Of this wrapping up with, okay, his son, ultimately, we're assuming that he thinks that his son is going to die. And that Ramirez, as he has said, when he leaves here, is going to go kill this baby. We'll wait until predictions, but I'm assuming the baby doesn't die. And then instead, he lost his Bobby, but Lavanya says, oh, but you found ours. And then this ghost that she's been searching for is now here, and they're feeding the ducks. And this whole message of, you know, like, the past can haunt you forever if you let it. But if you're present and you're happy and you allow yourself to be happy, then you can be here feeding ducks with your dead brother and crazy mom. Like, I don't, what was this?
I don't, honestly, I was so confused by the ending of that episode. I was like, what? So the zombie of Billy? Bobby. No, the zombie of his brother.
Bobby.
Brings him down, and then he's all of a sudden transported to a world in which his mother loves him. Because he brought Bobby back to her. I was just very confused. I'm like, where are they? What is going on? I don't know. I was confused. I'm sorry. I don't know.
They're still at the camp, presumably. Yeah. They're just beside the lake of the camp because their bodies are still trapped there.
So how did he bring Bobby back?
Because I guess when it was the whole thing of like, no one can save you now, like literally this guy who, what was his name? Larry, who gets a name in the captions, but we've never met Larry. Good on you, Larry, for getting that IMDb cred, I guess. But Larry is like, no one can help you now, Mr. Jingles. Mm-hmm. And then we see, oh, wait, Bobby can. A brother's love can. Bobby's been MIA this whole time, apparently.
The whole time!
He's just been, like, sleeping.
Yeah. A zombie in the lake? Like, what?
He was waiting to help his brother and say a really bad joke about mayonnaise.
That was...
I got excited for a second because I thought it was... my boy Chet.
I did too! Because we talked about how we wanted it so bad and we just never saw him again.
I'm upset that they're not doing anything with Chet right now. And right. I'm like, okay, what's the point of his character? Are we ever going to get anything next episode? But I'm confused with you guys as well.
I think Ryan Murphy was just like, look, we need to get Gus out of the snow. He's going to go to summer camp for a while.
What was the significance of him, like, seeing Montana and Montana looking at him?
There were so many people pensively looking at each other this episode. Like, we saw, like, Margaret, like, oh, I see you, Montana, with Trevor.
Yeah.
And then it's like, we see, like, Montana just, like, watching, Jingles. Montana going to help him? I set up for what was going to be a cooler moment.
Yeah,
I think
Montana helps him.
Jingles just needs kind of to revisit the past to confront his future once again. Or I don't know. I think maybe he needs some kind of closure with his mom, Lily. Love seeing her again. I missed her.
I honestly don't think they're at the camp. I think
is this a dream?
I think it's probably like they've now crossed over. Like they have now fulfilled their purpose, so they're no longer ghosts. You know, we've seen like this whole thing of like it might be because it seemed a lot more euphoric than how the camp was. So if the whole thing was like, oh, we're wandering because the mom and the lady in white episode, we see Lavanya saying flat out, I am roaming this camp because I'm looking for Bobby and I'm never going to be okay until I find my son. But now that she has her son, I think that this is her saying.
Both sons.
Yeah, both of them. Two. Is like the fortunate son, CCR, clearance. But having them there, I think that this is probably them crossing over is what
I'm
assuming.
Maybe like one Bobby had to die for the other to live.
There can only be one Bobby. The battle of the Bobbies.
Damn.
One Bobby will live. One Bobby will rule them all.
So stupid. I guess so.
Wow. Well, any last thoughts on this episode before we dive into our special segment?
But wait a second. If Jingles has moved on, is that the last of Jingles? Will we not see him again?
You think everyone needs revenge against Margaret, so I need to start thinking about predictions for who's going to kill Margaret.
Okay, all right. Let's see who's going to kill Margaret.
Everyone needs closure. That's all I'll say. Everyone.
And that will be the closure of this episode as well, so look at that.
Yeah.
But before we dive into our predictions, our special segment, Slashback. We're going to listen to the whole thing.
So, the only one that I picked up on was Friday the 13th with Bobby pulling him out of the, that was the only one I picked up on. I don't know.
Besides the White Fang reference, which was just like, all right, unless you start throwing rocks at Trevor, it's like
my dumbass got a 1990s Pretty Woman in the beginning with Richard and the guy.
Oh my god, you're 100%
right. But that doesn't count because it's 90s. That's 90s. But 1989 went into the 90s.
White Fang was 1991. So
we got some 90s references.
Yeah, why not? I mean, we had an Urban Legends reference, like a direct like Urban Legends reference last week. So it's like, that was very like peak, like 90s. Right. Like Rebecca Gayhart at like her curliest hair 90s, like Jawbreaker 90s. But anyway, we also have a little bit of news this week as well.
Ooh.
It's got blue.
So we talked a little bit about Sarah Paulson.
Yes.
She said she will come back if and when Evan Peters does.
Oh, that
balls in your court, Evan.
That puts a lot of pressure on poor Evan.
I know, especially since he said he doesn't really want to come back.
I'm not mentally okay with this right now. It's like putting myself in there.
Yeah, it's like I wouldn't want to work with my ex either. Yeah. Even if I was with bomb ass Halsey, which is like also props to Evan because damn. Mm-hmm.
But then
he's dating Halsey, by the way.
That's good for him. Geez.
Isn't that awesome? But then they announced it at the 100th episode when they made out in front of Emma.
Damn. That's a way to get back at your ex.
Dresses Sonny and Cher.
Damn. Yeah. They all look good, by the way.
I know.
They
all look good.
But Emma might not come back, so maybe that Evan will come back. Maybe. Sarah will come back.
I mean, there's also always so many different storylines, so I'm like, you guys could write this to where they never have to be on set together ever, you know, and still have a very cohesive, good story.
Flashback. They could.
That's a lot of effort, though, and also they're supposed to be professionals. So.
Yeah, but this it's also true. Like, okay, but this man has dedicated 7 years of his life to playing every sort of demented character in the world.
I'm just happy.
I mean, so does Sarah Paulson.
I'm just happy they've found success, though. Like, so much success outside of the show, even though we miss them, you know?
I know. I just love everybody on this show. Everybody is so good. Mm-hmm. I just want... Well, we'll wait for predictions, too. But we do know that we are going to have at least one more special guest making an appearance. One more cameo next week. Ew. And also, kind of going into our news as well. We asked you guys last week if you were going to dress up as an American Horror Story character for Halloween to share your photos with us.
Yay!
We actually have them in order going the opposite way, if we can pull them up from starting with Murder House.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, my gosh. We're seeing some already. Okay. This is going to be amazing.
They don't have to be in order. We'll start with this one. So, American Horror Story... Shout out to Penny Dreadful.
Penny Dreadful
was like, "Oh, you want one costume? Hold up, nine mofos."
Oh,
so Penny Dreadful made a costume for every single season. This was the beautiful 1980s version for 1984.
Oh, my gosh. Beautiful.
Love it.
That's awesome.
And then Apocalypse, freaking fire, literally burning it up.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my god,
so good.
Which I gotta say, love that makeup more than the actual Colt makeup, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I love it.
And then the gloves, the short little gloves.
Yeah, so the short little gloves and like the, like, oh, I just love the whole like...
The outfit's
great.
Yes,
the outfit with like the little holes reference and everything. Roanoke with like the Gaga fierceness.
Yes.
Freaking crushing it with like the heart and everything. Hotel. More Gaga fierceness.
The Countess.
And then Murder House.
Freak Show.
These are so great.
Oh my gosh.
Coven. I mean, the friggin' Myrtle.
Right.
I was like, that is gold. Asylum.
Oh my gosh.
I mean.
One of the patients. Oh.
And Murder House. Oh. With the Black Dahlia.
Like, oh my gosh.
I have to say, longtime viewer, Penny Dreadful. You have just won.
You won.
All of Halloween and this entire episode. This entire episode is dedicated to you. I hope you enjoyed Rest in Pieces, a.k.a. the Penny Dreadful episode of American Horror Stories After.
You rock. Seriously,
that was amazing.
Amazing stuff.
I stand a legend, Penny.
I know.
Like,
I bow down.
Amazing.
My brook was not worthy.
I was proud of my Sally, and now I'm like, okay.
Me as a human being, I'm not worthy. Jesus.
I know. I'm like, cheers. All right. So before we get out of here, though, some quick predictions with next week being the absolute last week.
And now, you're After Buzz TV.
Who's going to kill Margaret?
Quick little spoiler. If you didn't watch the next week on.
Spoiler
don't
alert.
Don't listen for a second.
Spoiler alert.
Finn Wittrock will be joining the cast. We know, which I actually didn't like that they showed this clip. I'm glad that we know that Finn's going to be in it. But they showed Margaret and Trevor killing themselves, so we know that Trevor dies and that he's going to stay. I mean, not Margaret, Montana and Trevor. So that was kind of a little bit of a spoiler. I was
I
like,
know.
So now we know that Trevor is going to die at the camp and stay with her.
Maybe they're throwing us off with something. I don't know. I think there is going to be, like, I think a lot of them are going to die. I think there has to be, I don't know. I would like to think that Brooke and Donna make it to the end, but I think one of them is going to make it.
Donna's going to die. Donna's gone.
And I don't want that, but I think that's going to happen.
Donna's
and I think that I'm predicting that there will be some kind of tie into another season. I know that they're not trying to, but I think they're going to, like, I think there's going to be, like, something. They have to give us something. Like, who is Bobby? Who does Bobby grow up into?
I will say, you know? I interviewed Ryan Murphy at the 100th episode and asked him specifically if he already knew what next season was going to be. And he said he had a couple ideas. So, definitive.
Okay.
He hasn't picked one. He did say that there are some references already, but he's not entirely sure what the season's going to be. So, I don't even know how that's possible. How there's references to something that you don't know what it's going to
be. Right? He's just screwing with us.
He's messing with us. He's so good, and it drives me crazy.
I don't appreciate it, but it needs to just be a bomb-ass episode and wrap everything up and make me happy.
Honestly, yeah.
Because it's nine episodes.
Who do you think is the final girl? Do you think it's going to be Brooke? They keep teasing that it's going to be Brooke, so...
I think it's going to be Brooke. I think, honestly, I think her and Montana are going to get together, and they're going to reconcile... And maybe they're going to team up and kill her. That's what I would like
maybe
to see.
Maybe that would be how Montana gets to move
on. Because she, you know,
fulfilled
let her
purpose.
Yeah. Fulfilled her purpose.
I like it. Well, you guys let us know what you think in the comments below as well. And until next week, our final episode, where can everybody keep up with you?
Hey guys, it's Ollie. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at OllieDreamer.
And it's Alexa Cappiello. You can find me on Instagram at Alexa Cappy, C-A-P-P-Y.
And you guys can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at Elena J. Jordan. And you can find me every week on MEA Worldwide interviewing your favorite celebrities. That's MEAWW.com. Next week is the finale of American Horror Story 1984. We really hope you guys join us. We'll see you guys then.
See you then.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.